Well, every once in a while, I'm the cook. And when that happens, it's pizza. But it's not that I make it. No, Papa Murphy's. And it was a couple of Fridays ago that we did that. And so we were hungry, just my wife and I. So it was the family size, huge pizza, regular crust, cowboy. And so I called ahead, and they said, oh, 10 or 15 minutes, we'll have it ready for you. So I headed out in the right amount of time, and I arrived, but it was not ready. And so I went from the paying line to the waiting line, and I sat in their little bench. And when I waited, I watched. And when I watched, I learned. So one lady comes in, and we're all in line. And she heads right to the head of the line. She didn't stay with everyone else. Evidently, she must have owned the place. So she was dressed very nicely. She approached them and said, I already placed my order. It's already paid. Here's my name. And she grabs two pizzas and walks out. But there was another lady that was not very happy with her entitlement. And she was rather rude to the other lady. She called her a line breaker and privileged. That she didn't care. She got her pizza, walked out of the store. And then there's another lady. Her name was Marjorie. And Marjorie had arrived before any of those ladies were there, and I think even before me. And that other lady who was sort of mouthy, she got her pizza and left. But Marjorie, she eventually walked up to the counter and said, is my pizza ready? Well, when did you order it? Oh, about a couple hours ago. Well, they looked and they didn't find Marjorie's pizza. And they looked at that whole stack of orders and they didn't find Marjorie's name. And so they said, you know what? We'll take care of this. And so they put Marjorie at the head of the line and they got her pizza already. Now, Marjorie, though, didn't stomp her feet. She didn't raise her voice. She didn't ask for to see the manager. No, she waited. She got her pizza and she left. So I learned something that night. From the first two ladies, I learned how not to be. I saw their example, their entitlement heading to the top of the line and the anger in the voice of the other. And I said, you know what, I don't want to be like that. And then I saw Marjorie and I said, that's a better example. So tell me, how do you learn? Do you learn from the poor examples of others, or do you learn from those whose example is much better? Do you watch? Do you learn? You see, Jesus teaches us about fasting and giving and praying. And when he does, he first of all tells us how not to be. So be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street corners to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the Gentiles. They love, for they think that they have heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. We learn from others. We watch them. We learn how not to be. And we also learn how to be. As Jesus said here, all about the giving of money or the praying or the fasting, he says, do not be like them. So I gave you the example that I saw on a Friday evening when people sometimes are a little bit hungry and a little bit tired and the best does not come out in them. The examples Jesus gave were religious examples, giving gifts, praying prayers, and fasting. And they all can be done for the wrong reasons. Sometimes we give, or we sacrifice, or we pray in order that people can see us, that they can honor us. Our learning, though, cannot be simply from the negative. It also has to be from the positive. So follow the example of the best. And the best is that of Jesus. Remember when he would pray? He would pray in lonely places. He would go away from everybody. And he would pray in secret. Or in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's praying on that Thursday night, and he's praying with such fervor that he starts to shed blood from the tops of his head. And he was there alone. He wasn't there to be seen. It wasn't a showy picture. When he fasted, when he gave, it wasn't to be seen by others. It came from his heart. See, we are able to learn from Jesus. But also I hope that we learn of Jesus. And what I want to say through that, in our Lenten time, is not enough for a lesson to learn how we are to be. This is a time to know what Jesus has done for us. Now, this is a time of repentance. This is a time of change. This is a time for us to be different than we are. But this is also a time of absolute faith in what Jesus has done to be our Savior. So how do you learn? You simply learn from the poor examples of others, or do you learn from the best how to copy them? I have another way of learning, and that is to learn how it is that God changes our lives. I think that during this time of Lent, I want to challenge you. I want you to take the words of John the Baptist in John 3 and make them yours. When John was told that Jesus was baptizing more than him, and that people were leaving his camp and going to his, John said this, He must become greater, and I must become less. And that is what has to happen during all of Lent and during all of our life, that He becomes greater and us less. In my congregation, I have a man named Dave Hitz Taylor. And Dave, on March 22nd of 2020, entered Sky Ridge Hospital to die. He already had idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, so his lungs didn't work very well. And he got COVID. And he was there for 10 days. And David called me on a Sunday morning to tell me goodbye, because that was it. He knew he was going to die, but he didn't. But David is dying. We have a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, before David leaves us and goes into heaven. I see David regularly, and our visits are treasured. What I see is faith and faithfulness. And he said to me, as he reflecting upon life, so many times in my life, I have disappointed God, but He has never disappointed me. A few weeks ago, he said, God has done more for me than I have ever done for him. His confidence in Jesus is remarkable. So to speak, what I see is a man who is dying well. And what I see is a man who is living out John 3:30. He must become greater, and I must become less. It is true. He becomes less every day. His breathing is labored. He weighs less today than he did yesterday. He's becoming a smaller man. But his soul, I tell you, is becoming greater and greater. In 1990, Dave Hitz Taylor's life changed. And I don't know what it was that happened. But he said he had idols back then. He had things that were false God. And he said, God does not want any of us to have idols or false gods. And so, God, by His grace, changed him. Because when God is in the right place in our life, we are in the right place. If God is not in the right place, we are not in the right place. In the Lord's Prayer that you heard read and that you have prayed, notice how God is in the right place. The first three petitions, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your name, your kingdom, your will. So this is all about Jesus as Savior, Jesus and His blood, Jesus and His redemption and His victory. You see, He becomes greater. When you look at each of those petitions, you will see how it is that His atoning death and resurrection makes Him holier to us. And His name becomes greater to us. And how we treasure the will of God that He would do such a marvel on our behalf. This is a time for us to say, Lord, may you be greater, and may I become less. May I see you in all of your sufferings and realize that is where your glory is shown. May I see you not only in your death, but also in your glorious resurrection. See, that's when his kingdom comes. That's when his will is done. And his will is you and I would know this redemption with all surety. During the season of Lent, enough with phoniness and fakery, enough with a faith that is lukewarm or momentary or only for show. Now, this is a time for Jesus to become greater for all of us, and for us to become secondary, for us to become less. When Jesus is greater, when his name is holy, when his kingdom comes, when his will is done, we have seen where our Lord is where he should be in our life and in the life of this world. In Christ's name, amen.